Survivor's guilt is an awful feeling that somebody has when they see something happen to somebody either close to them or that they know that they feel for some reason part of. It leaves them with an awful sense of responsibility, and it touches people deep down with a feeling that they could have caused that damage. And they can carry around that feeling for years, often to their grave, because they just can't dislodge it, this sense that I've done something wrong.
And doing something wrong can merely mean, for some people, surviving.
Yes, because the mind is a very complex piece of emotional equipment. And the mind can make a cause when there isn't a cause. So, for example, you know, if something happens to somebody because I'm in the same place at the same time and then it's not me,
yeah,
the mind can say, well, you know, if you had done something or said something, that person would have survived or wouldn't have been exposed to this kind of particular injury.
Are those rational thoughts?
No, they're irrational thoughts. That's the problem. The mind makes a leap to a cause and effect which isn't there. But the sad aspect for the survivor is they believe that it was something bad within them that caused something bad in the other person.
And we see this all the way back, many examples of this historically, of course, but anyone who's read any memoirs of people who survived the concentration camps will sometimes encounter this as well. I lost my whole family. I lost all my friends. I lost my whole village. Why am I the one who made it out?
Yes, that's right. And the thing is that if people can't resolve that, if people can't work it through and say, well, that's my karma, that's the way fate...
It's just the way it worked out.
The way it worked out. Then their life is inhibited. Their emotional life is inhibited because they carry something bad around with them that almost draws them back into the past.
And what kind of inhibitions are we talking about?
We're talking about almost a kind of sinking feeling. A sinking feeling that I make bad things happen.
You don't trust yourself.
You don't trust yourself with other people, but you feel then there was something in your power that you could have done to make it different.
So take, for example, a relationship. You might not get involved in a relationship that might be good for both of you because you're frightened of hurting that person, because I do bad things to other people.
It affects intimacy. It affects closeness, because people who carry around this feeling with them keep others at an arm's length because they actually feel they're protecting people. I mean, a patient that I worked with recently would say, I don't want to get close to you because I feel I will do you harm. To the extent that if I come in with a cold or I come in not looking particularly well, the first thing this patient says to me is it something I said in the last session? So it kind of creates a rawness and an awful hypervigilance to life and to relationships.
Is that a kind of paranoia?
It is a paranoia, yes, because you've got to remember, paranoia, or this feeling of suspicion, is caused by carrying something bad in your soul. So you feel bad about yourself, but you feel bad about others. Then unfortunately, if you carry this in your soul and something bad happens, then technically what happens is reality meets fantasy. I imagine something bad's going to happen, and then when something bad happens, that's horrific. And that's what's the cause of a lot of emotional problems, particularly in traumatised societies like our own.
And people see that correlation as a kind of cause-effect.
They do.
I did that.
They do. Yeah. Even though logically you know it's not cause and effect, and people will tell you, and people will say, you know, dust yourself down, get on with your life. It's so embedded in somebody's mind, they believe it to be true.
How common do you think survivor's guilt is in Northern Ireland?
I think it's very common. I think it's particularly common with the generation that grew up in the Troubles, people who witnessed the Troubles. I mean, when I grew up in the Troubles in the 70s and 80s, while I'm an Indian gentleman, I knew people that were harmed. A friend of mine who actually was in the Boys' Brigade, he was in the RUC, he got murdered, you know. I can recall that like in an instance. People will always have memories of people close to them that have been involved in the Troubles. And then they'll think, well, if there's something that I could have done different. So of my generation, somebody's in their 50s, I think we carry around a lot of stuff with us in terms of the effect of the past and the feeling that we did something bad, or if we had stopped somebody doing something, they wouldn't have been harmed.
If you're working with someone who feels stuck emotionally in that way, they're in the grip of a kind of survivor's guilt, how do you approach moving them beyond that?
Well, this is a very complex piece of emotional work. I mean, this is very, very raw for the patient. And the most helpful thing to do is to give them an experience of not doing harm to me. So in a sense that it's not so much concentrating on the issue or going back to the historical fact or talking about it.
Because they know that inside out anyway.
They do. But what they're carrying around with them is a feeling, I've done something bad to human beings, to somebody else. So in the intensity of the work over a long period of time, it's giving them an experience that actually they're not doing that to me. And if good work occurs, actually in this kind of ongoing emotional work, you know, two people are working together in a way that's kind of helpful and productive and leaves some good feelings. But erasing this awful bad feeling is very, very complicated.
There's always going to be a trace of it.
There's always going to be a trace of it. I think the most you can do is minimise it and reduce it. The problem is if you don't minimise, reduce it, or if people don't have any treatment for it as such, then they carry it around really as quite a sinking feeling. And then they can, in my words or in technical words, act it out. So they'll keep themselves away from people. They'll not allow any intimacy. They'll often be in very controlling relationships because deep down they fear that that closeness will cause harm.
And in controlling relationships where they're the ones being controlled?
Where they're the ones being controlled, but unfortunately where often they are the controlling person as well. Because if you're keeping somebody at arm's length all the time, you're kind of in charge. Now, the kind of flip side of that, which is quite unpleasant as well, is that people who carry around a feeling that they've done harm to others or they've witnessed something where something's gone wrong and they could have done something about it, they can often feel that, well, bad experiences are for me. So if I have a bad life and bad things happen, well, then that's the way it is because I'm not a good person. And they actually become addicted to badness. And I've actually seen patients seek out bad experiences to prove that there's something bad in them that made them stand back, watch their friend be harmed, and this is the way it is. It's a very, very difficult, vicious cycle to break. And I can't emphasise enough, this is very complicated work. This is very raw work. This goes into the heart of somebody's mind, really, where these very deep feelings are causing enormous distress.
Do you know what it occurs to me listening to you, Rahman? We're talking about only one of hundreds of psychological dynamics that accompany the legacy of the Troubles, aren't we?
We are.
And you're describing this complex emotional work that could take months and years to help someone move on in their lives. And we're talking about thousands of people.
We are. And that's where I, with a colleague 10 years ago, coined the phrase the troubled mind of Northern Ireland. I think there are a lot of people of my generation, of your generation, who are carrying around a lot of trauma and a lot of trouble. And, you know, they may get help with it, but there are a lot of silent sufferers who can't seek help or won't seek help. Unfortunately, it does become acted out. It does become manifest in their day-to-day relationships, in their physical health. Because if you're feeling bad and you're feeling paranoid and not good with the world, you're not going to look after yourself. You may become addicted to bad relationships and bad experiences. You actually live quite a solitary world. You know, kind of human warmth and intimacy and good things aren't part of your discourse, aren't part of your everyday life. And the tragedy is, I think, that unfortunately that will only be wiped out as the generations move on. Yes, it's tragic for the people who are silently suffering. It really is, because they carry a lot. They really do carry a lot. And they find it very hard to seek help. Sometimes the right help's not available at the right time. You know, we're in a world of antidepressants and anxiety drugs, which are fine. But when it actually comes to repairing deep emotional wounds, this is complex work.
And it costs money. It needs to be
resourced.
It
costs money and it costs expertise. You've got to respect the expertise. You've got to get the expertise. This particular way of working does not involve an awful lot of kind of thought and care and very, very delicate work, you know, because if you don't do this properly, you repeat the trauma. So, for example, if you're not aware with somebody who suffers from survivor's guilt and they're coming to you and you're not aware of your impact on them or their impact on you, you know, for example, if you do kind of, you know, have a physical illness or something like that, and that's not talked about, and the impact of that isn't talked about, then the person thinks, oh, well, I made that person go mad or bad or something like that. It's a kind of point of human contact. That's what caused the original trauma in the first place. And if that's not thought about in a careful way, it can be repeated. So I can't say enough how delicate this work is.